Infinity Publishing presents the 1-hour audio series. These 1-hour long audiobooks are streamlined for fast learning and entertainment. Read by a professional reader or the author, the 1-hour audio series is an easy way to get the audiobook content you want. And now, Writing Nonfiction, Turning Thoughts into Books. Written by Dan Pointer. Read by the author.
Hi, this is Dan Pointer. Let's talk about your book idea. What your book will do for you. Would you like to be recognized as someone who knows what he or she is talking about? Be someone worth listening to? Would you like to get paid for what you know? Would you like a job that is stimulating, interesting, and challenging? A job you look forward to? Can you imagine doing what you love and loving what you do? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of an author who retired? There are many justifications for writing a book: fame, fortune, helping other people, or fulfilling a personal mission. Let's take a look at each of these reasons. Reason number one is fame. Imagine being a published author. Picture people coming up to you at a meeting with a copy of your book and requesting an autograph. Visualize passing a bookstore and seeing your book in the window. Consider being interviewed for an article. Imagine the fame that comes with being published. A book provides you with more credibility than anything else you could do, more credibility than for an audio CD, a video DVD, a seminar, a screenplay, or a song. People place a higher value on a book, even though the same amount of work may have gone into the production of those other means of expression. The fact is, authors are highly valued in our society. William Kennedy, novelist and Pulitzer Prize winner, said, "Recognition is everything you write for. It's much more than money. You want your books to be valued. It's the basic aspiration of the serious writer." People think that if you wrote a book, you know something, and you probably do. When you think about it, you're writing your book from the very best research plus personal experience. You will research relevant books and online material, distill their contents down to the essentials, direct your writing toward a specific audience, and illustrate it with your personal experiences. You are earning an advanced degree in the subject by conducting the research and writing the paper. Your book validates your expertise and lends more credibility to what you say. You do know something. Jean Strauss from Newsweek said, "Writing ranks among the top 10% of professions in terms of prestige." Now, I serve as an expert witness in skydiving cases. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an engineer. And yet I advise attorneys, judges, and juries what happened, or what should have happened, in parachute mishaps. My 8 technical books on parachutes and popular books on skydiving give me the credibility to be hired and the credibility to be believed. Once your book is published and establishes your authority, your value and opportunities increase. You can charge more for your seminars, articles, speeches, and consulting. Imagine the credibility and recognition your book brings to you. Radio and television interviews. Every day, more than 10,200 guests appear on some 4,250 local news, interview, and talk shows across the United States. And about 95% of the guests do not have recognizable names. Yet. Radio and TV talk shows need interesting guests to attract listeners and viewers. Most people think that authors are experts and celebrities, so most of the guests booked on these shows are authors. Your book is actually your entree to the airwaves. Advertising products on the air is expensive, and since people are skeptical of advertising pitches, they usually tune them out. Interviews, however, are editorial matter. People listen to editorial matter. Interviews are more effective than advertising, and they are free. They can be an inexpensive way to promote books. Many people love to go on radio and television. In fact, I think some people write books just to get on the air. Autograph parties, or book signings, are a form of product promotion not open to producers of other goods or services. Bookstores, both chain and independent, are staging events to draw potential customers into their stores. Authors are the draw. Terry Lonier, author of Working Solo, says, "Never do an autographing. Always offer a mini seminar." An autograph party says, Come and appreciate me and buy a book. A seminar says, come on down and I will give you something free, information that will improve your life. Always think about the benefit to the potential customer. How can you lure them out of the house, away from the television, and down to the store? Patricia Bragg, Health Science Publishing, publishes health and fitness books. To promote her mini-seminar at a local bookshop in Santa Barbara, she posted handbills in all the local health food stores. Then she made an emailing to her customer list within a 50-mile driving radius. The store was packed, and she was on for more than 4 hours until closing time. The store sold out on many of her books and gave out rain checks. For successful people, autographing scraps of paper for adoring fans is a duty. For authors, autographing sold books is money in the bank. These mini seminars may lead to more seminars or even a series of them for other groups at other locations. Wilfred A. Peterson, author of The Art of Living by Day, says, books are a form of immortality. The words of men whose bodies are dust still live in their books. The second reason to write a book is fortune. Your book will be a new profit center. There is money to be made in books. It was a long flight home from the Maui Writers' Conference, and the guy in the next seat struck up a conversation. He finally got around to, and what do? I sat up proudly and announced, I'm a writer. No, he quickly replied, what do you do for a living? There are some starving writers of nonfiction out there, most of whom are not following the plan I outline here. There are also those who are working on fiction and are having a tough time. Fiction is entertainment, which is more difficult to sell. It has to battle with other forms of entertainment for people's time. Fiction competes with reading other books, going to a movie, or taking your kids to the zoo. The main challenge is that fiction writers hear that creative writing is difficult to sell, so they do nothing. Fiction can be successful if you follow the plan. More business. A book makes you stand out. An author speaks with authority. A book brings customers to your door. Writing your book can be the cornerstone for a rewarding and successful future. Reason number three, personal mission. Imagine being able to get the word out on something you feel strongly about. For example, I love skydiving. I want to share it with the world. I want everyone to jump out of an airplane. Of course, I want you to make safe and enjoyable jumps so that you will take up the sport, join the club, buy equipment, and maybe even purchase some of my skydiving books. Since 1962, I've made more than 1,200 jumps. I have all the highest licenses and ratings and 12 hours of time, cumulative, in free fall. I'm past chairman of the board of the U.S. Parachute Association and past president of the Parachute Industry Association. When you have a sense of personal mission, your passion center becomes your profit center. Your vocation and your avocation are the same. Why split your energies? Take a stand. Be passionate. Don't be afraid to stir up controversy. Picture sharing your enthusiasm with the rest of the world. Terry Lonier, the author of Working Solo, says, chase the passion, not the profit. Reason number four is helping others. Imagine helping others with a how-to book. Your years of experience could benefit a lot of people, or your memoir or story of personal triumph over adversity may change someone's life. Dr. Susan Forward, author of Emotional Blackmail, says, we are all wounded. Our wounds are the single greatest source of material. Bad experiences make us experts on the subject. Talk about what worked for you. You have been there. Mindy Bingham was the executive director of the Girls Club of Santa Barbara. She realized that one-on-one she could help dozens of girls each day. But if she took what she knew, added what she'd learned, pulled documents from her files, and did some more research, she could multiply her efforts and reach thousands. Choices, a teen woman's journal for self-awareness and personal planning, has sold more than 1 million copies so far. So you may be driven by fame, fortune, a personal mission, or helping other people. If you are driven by fame, personal mission, or helping others, the money will follow. Let me share with you the seven principles of financial success. Principle number one. There is more money in selling product than there is in selling hours. Most people sell their time. They're trading hours for dollars. Some people, such as doctors, charge a lot for their time, but they are still hourly workers. There are just 8 or so saleable hours in each day, and then you have nothing more to sell. A product, such as a book, on the other hand, is always working for you. It earns money even when you aren't on the clock. Additionally, your book generates passive income. It produces revenue even when you aren't working. Brian Tracy is a well-known professional speaker who commands in the range of $20,000 per presentation. But these speeches also require a great deal of customized preparation time and lots of distant travel. For this reason, he has committed considerable time, energy, and money to develop audios, videos, and books that are sold through a variety of distribution channels. Brian's goal is to achieve a 20-to-1 ratio of products to speaking, or 95% product to 5% hours. The second principle, there is more money in selling information about a product or service than there is in the product or service. If you have ever attended a real estate seminar, you probably noticed the speaker was selling a book in the back of the room. What's ironic is that he probably made more money on the seminar and the book than on real estate. And once published, he became a lot more famous than he was selling real estate. In fact, you probably would not have attended the seminar if he didn't have the fame the book brought him. As a result of the seminar, you bought the wrong book. You didn't need a book on real estate. You needed a book on how to write a book. I wrote the first book on hang gliding in 1973. Since I had a product for the industry, I attended meetings of the Hang Glider Manufacturers Association, the industry group. One manufacturer observed that I was making more money than those who were bolting Dacron and aluminum together, and more than the hang gliding instructors. I just smiled. Pick any area of business, and you will probably find that the consultants, authors, and seminar leaders are making more money than other business owners. Information providers make more money than manufacturers. Number three, books reach more people. You can only help so many people with seminars, speeches, and private consulting. Books are the most cost-effective way to multiply your efforts and bring your message to millions. Barbara Tuchman, the historian, says, "Books are the carriers of civilization." You can consult with a small group of clients or speak to a room full of attendees, but a book can serve far more people on their own schedules. Number four, the book is the ideal product because it is quick, fairly inexpensive, and easy to manufacture. You can produce a lot more books just by letting the printing press run. E-books have even more advantages. They don't require printing or inventory or shipping. Number five, you control the product when you are its sole source. Do not invest time and money producing and promoting a product that interested buyers can buy from someone else, often for less. Joe Kosman was the originator and promoter of the Ant Farm, the Spud Gun, the Shrunken Head, Fly Cake, and numerous other products. He would find local or imported products, nail down the source with a contract exclusive, and have the products manufactured, and then promote them. Joe said for years that if you are going to promote a product, you must be the sole source. If you control the product, you control the price. If you are not the sole original source, others will compete with you on the basis of price, and the prices will decrease. It has been reported that 26% of book customers shop on the basis of price. A manuscript can be copyrighted for only $45, giving you a legal monopoly to publish and sell it in any form you wish. Hardcover book, audio, downloadable file, CD, foreign language, video, film, and so on. Books are a safe product. Your copyright makes you the sole source. Reason number six. As a publisher in today's environment, you can get paid sooner. Customers for many products are dealing directly with manufacturers. Dell does not assemble a computer until after it's sold and the company has received the money. In fact, Dell gets paid before it has to pay for the parts, net 30 days, going into the computer. Compare that model with Detroit. In that on-spec model, the automobile manufacturers make cars and put them on lots. Dealers often sit on 60 days of inventory. It would make a lot more sense to allow people to order a car online, pay for it, and get it built and delivered in 2 or 3 weeks, custom configured. The buzz phrase for this process is mass customization. Traditional publishers follow the wrong model. They manufacture books on spec and place them in bookstores, hoping someone will buy them. Unfortunately, 20 to 30% of the books are not sold. They are returned to the publishers for a refund. With digital printing, we can print smaller quantities, start with 500, and test the market. Number 7. You are your best investment. Don't spend time on frivolous activities or daydreaming. Each day you are given 1,440 minutes. Put more of them to work. Invest in your future by using your time to write your book. Subscribers to Writer's Digest magazine spend 12.64 hours writing each week. Beginners spend 7 hours a week, and advanced writers spend 30.5. What is a book? Today, a book has so many more forms than an ink-on-paper original edition. Your manuscript may become a hardcover book with a dust jacket, a perfect-bound softcover book, a mass-market paperback on wood pulp paper, or an audio CD. It may be downloaded and read on a computer screen, or it may be read on a PDA. Then it may be serialized, excerpted, or condensed for magazines and e-zines, or translated into other languages. Some people need your information, but they don't have the time to read your book. They may commute lengthy, time-consuming distances each day. They would love to listen to your book to make double use of their time. Take advantage of the new formats, convert your text to other editions, and wring maximum value out of your work. How long will this writing project take? Good book writing requires organization, discipline, and application of the seat of the pants to the seat of the chair. Using the organizational plan outlined in this book will accelerate your writing process. According to Brenner Information Group, on the average, authors take 475 hours to write books of fiction and 725 hours to write nonfiction. I spend more time. Here are some examples. Rick Evans wrote the 87-page The Christmas Box in 6 weeks. He published it and promoted it himself. It hit the top of the Publisher's Weekly bestseller list and was translated into 13 languages. He subsequently sold out to Simon & Schuster for $4.2 million. Years ago, I wrote the 168-page Computer Selection Guide in 21 days. Well, it actually took 28 days, but I carefully logged the time and found that during those 28 days, the hours added up to 21 days of work. Some of the material was adapted from an earlier book titled Word Processors and Information Processing. On the other hand, The Parachute Manual, 590 large pages, my first book took me 8 years, and The Expert Witness Handbook took 6 months because I enjoyed working on it so much. Diana Boer raises the bar even higher. She knocked out a 402-page book titled Communicate with Confidence, sold to McGraw-Hill, in 22 days. Get a Life Without Sacrificing Your Career, McGraw-Hill, was first drafted over a long 5-day weekend. And Would You Put That in Writing, Facts on File, took her 4 days. Diana also dictates while she drives. I call her advice interstate books. If you follow my plan, you will qualify the project, assemble your materials, and quantify the market. If you have done some writing previously or have recorded presentations that may be transcribed into writing, the whole process will be shortened. F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Author's Apology, April 1920, said, "To write it, it took 3 months. To conceive it, 3 minutes. To collect the data, all my life." To be realistic, your first book might take several weeks for organizing, gathering materials, setting up the binder, making the piles, and doing the research. The first draft could take a week or two if you can set aside the time to marathon write it. The first draft is the toughest part for most writers. The second draft requires more research and could take several weeks. The third draft is for peer review, getting feedback from experts in your field, and could take as long as 3 weeks. The fourth draft is the copy edit that you will probably farm out to a wordsmith. Meanwhile, you will be gathering quotations and stories, fact-checking statements and figures, and soliciting endorsements and testimonials. Sam Horn, the author of Tongue Fu, says, "I never met an author who is sorry he or she wrote a book. They're only sorry they did not write it sooner." Now, get to work. The benefits of being an author. Authors have many advantages over those who do not write. Advanced communications allow the published author to live anywhere. All you need is high-speed internet access. Now you can reside where you like to vacation. While writing books requires organization and discipline, your schedule is up to you. You may drop anything at a moment's notice and travel when a good business opportunity arises. Best of all, this travel, your electronic toys, and other expenses are tax deductible. I've been able to deduct my parachute jumps, flying lessons, and aircraft rental. As part of my work, I have traveled to more than 50 countries and have even skydived into the North Pole. But there are some hazards of being an author. Your life changes once you become a published author. Authors are treated differently. Your status changes from that of a private person, the writer, to a public person, the authority. Some authors thrive on notoriety, while others are reclusive and uncomfortable with it. If you treasure your privacy, your book will become a love-hate object. Joe Vitale, author of Cyberwriting, says, "The author is the authority." Yes, you become the authority. You may discover that people will think you're smarter than you really are. They will seek your advice on other subjects. Many people will just want to be near you. Some may even stalk you. Writing your book should not be the end of your involvement. When readers have questions, authors have a responsibility to answer the email and respond by telephone. Use these opportunities to gather material for the book's revision. Maybe you weren't clear enough, or perhaps the caller is interested in an important area you did not cover. Your friends may also treat you differently once you have published a book. Some will be supportive and happy for you, while others will be jealous because they didn't write the book. People new in your field will treat you like an idol, while some of your peers will feel threatened and maybe rather unkind. The difference between a blowhard and an author is that one has taken the time to put his views on paper. Both are telling you what's good for you, how to run your life, but one is a loudmouth you avoid at parties, while the other is a gifted visionary you pay good money to read. The irony is that people may not want to hear what's good for them at a social function, but they will pay you $25 for the same information in a book. Writing a book is a journey of discovery, an exploration, and a learning experience. By planning, setting up our binder, and drafting the back cover sales message, we set our signs on a path. But then, in the course of our research and writing, we discover new material, ideas, and inspiration. The result is a finished manuscript that is different from what we originally projected. Your future is up to you. Don't just hope for a bright future. Make a decision. Plan now, and soon you will be doing what you want to do. Your book will be the cornerstone for the future you are building. Remember that writing is a solitary endeavor, so your book and your life are up to you and you alone. Bud Gardner, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Writer's Soul, says, "Writing isn't magic, but magic isn't magic either." Chapter 2, The New Book Model. This book you are listening to is not just another tome on writing. It presents a completely new system that makes the product creation and production faster, easier, and less expensive. If I could give just one thing to my fellow writers, it would be this new book model. Today, the web facilitates research. Software accelerates typesetting. New machines automate printing. And the internet streamlines promotion. These technological improvements have spawned a fresh way to look at book publishing. The new book model covers all the bases and is a refreshingly innovative route for anyone with a manuscript idea. Today, books are written in Microsoft Word in page layout format using computer software. Then the pages are converted into Adobe Portable Document Format, PDF, for printing and conversion. In the new book model, just 500 books are printed using computer-driven high-speed laser printers. The quality of the softcover and hardcover books are indistinguishable from traditional ink-printed books. Prices are just slightly higher per unit, but the invoice is much lower. PDF, EPUB, and other files are generated for reading on ebook readers such as the iPhone, the Kindle, the Pocket PC, the iPad, and the Sony e-reader. Then the finished books are sent to two or three selected literary agents. A few more are sent to publishers with a track record for that kind of book. An appropriate number are sent for review to genre-specific blogs, websites, e-zines, and contributors to forums. Maybe 10 are sent to foreign publishers suggesting translation, and a handful are sent to opinion molders, important thought leaders in the author's field. If an agent or publisher comes in with a good offer, the author sells out. If not, all the bases are covered, the book is out for review, and the orders are starting to come in. Most of the book promotion is done via email. The author's website replaces brochures. A press room on the website replaces the media kit. Avoiding brochure printing and postage reduces promotion costs tremendously. So the new book model is a way to conserve time, inventory space, and money while testing the market. More books are not printed until after they are sold. It is no longer necessary to tie up lots of money and inventory in printed books. This is information at the speed of thought. We have seen the future, and it beeps. Welcome to digital book writing, publishing, promoting, and reading. Options for producing your book. Today, there are choices when it comes to book production: offset printing, digital printing, and print on demand. Let's take a look at them. Number one, traditional offset printing. This is ink on paper. It's expensive because of the setup time required for the machinery. Putting a lot of ink on paper is a good choice if there's a large pre-publication demand, such as an advance sale to bookstores or a quantity sale to a corporation. Otherwise, there's no need to print 3,000 or more copies of the book to achieve acceptable economies of scale. In the future, most books will not be manufactured until after they are sold. Printing is a quantity game. The more books you print, the lower the per unit cost. To reduce the cost, you want to print more, but not so many that you'll have books left over when demand slackens. Number two, digital book production uses high-speed direct-to-image drum electrostatic process with a toner blend that reproduces photographs well. There is no film or plate. The process is cost-effective for quantities from maybe 100 to 2,500 copies. Color covers may be printed with toner, digital ink, or the traditional offset ink process. Personalization. With digital printing, each book can even be customized. Pages can be substituted, and cover art can be changed. If you make a premium sale to a company, you can add an introductory page from the CEO and or include the business's logo on the cover. A digital printing plant is quiet and clean and uses lower-cost equipment than a traditional offset facility. Delivery is typically 5 days from page proofs, and reprints should take just 2 or 3 days. Some book distributors have installed short-run machines to make books as they are ordered by the stores. Now publishers can ship computer files instead of pallets of printed books to the distributors. Short-run book production offers lower investment costs, reduction in inventory, custom publishing, quicker reprints, and the elimination of obsolescence. Number three, print on demand. POD is not a method of printing, but a way of doing business. It means making a book to order. Most POD book manufacturing is done with digital presses. Making books one at a time is more expensive per unit than printing a small run. POD is not new, those monks who were hand-lettering manuscripts in the abbeys were doing print-on-demand. They received an order for a book, they worked their quills for months, and then they delivered the book. Comparing costs. Offset printing requires a lot of setup time. Print quantity needed, PQN or digital printing, requires little setup time, but the machines run much more slowly. Because of the setup time, offset printing requires at least 2,500 copies to achieve a reasonable per-unit price. Digital PQN printing can be done in smaller quantities at a reasonable price, but remember that you will need 500 books to send out for review and other promotion. POD costs much more per unit, too much for promotional purposes. Covers. Most books are manufactured with soft covers called perfect binding. In traditional printing, hard or case binding runs about $1 extra per book. For short-run digital production, the cost is $3 to $4 each because of the setup time needed for the case binding machine. For individual POD copies, the cost for case binding is often higher. Ebooks. While this important information about ink-on-paper publishing is important, the electronic edition of your book will be far more useful to your reader. In addition to being searchable and less expensive, all the referenced websites will be hyperlinked. Readers of the electronic edition can just click on the reference and go to the linked website. The only ink-on-paper dead tree books in the future will be coffee table books, books as an art form. These books will be used to decorate homes and offices. Other information will be disseminated electronically without sacrificing trees. Bruno de Sa Moreira, Zero Hour Magazine, says, "Publishing ink on paper is going to become a mere service to readers. The real product we're going to sell is the digital product." Living in the communication age. People need more information to make critical decisions, and they want that information quickly. As an author, you have the information some of them need, and you can get it to them faster electronically than through traditional hand or postal delivery. We are not just in the information age, we are in the electronic information age, or better yet, the communication age. Fortunately, authors deal in products that can be communicated. The knowledge world is going from a paper culture to an electronic culture. It is only a question of how we want to package our information. If book publishers can't see the writing on the wall, it's because the writing is not on the wall. It's on a computer screen. Historically, a book had to be published in hardcover to be taken seriously by the media. Today, a book still will have to be in paper form, as well as digital and audio, to be considered successful. A printed book edition will signify that the book is selling well enough to justify an ink printing. The costs of electronic delivery of information are decreasing, while the costs of physical storage and delivery are increasing. That's why the fax became an everyday machine. We have learned it does not pay to give someone a letter, 44 cents, and several days to hand carry the message across the country. Email will do it faster and cheaper. Compare cost versus speed. U.S. mail service costs 44 cents and takes several days to deliver. FedEx costs $20 or more for an overnight letter and arrives the next day. Faxes cost between 5 and 50 cents per minute, and it takes 3 minutes per page of material. Email is virtually free and arrives instantaneously at the speed of light. People want and need their information sooner today. No middlemen. Disintermediation is a marketing buzzword. It means cutting out the intermediaries such as publishers, distributors, wholesalers, bookstores, and printers so that customers can deal directly with manufacturers. In our case, that means readers buying directly from authors. By cutting out the person in the middle of the transaction, we can sell the written product for less and still make more money, while the customers get the information sooner. Don Clark says in the Wall Street Journal, "The breakthroughs are leading authors to bypass publishers to become publishers and bookstores to become retailers." Release 1.1. Since you're not investing in thousands of printed books, you don't even have to finish writing the nonfiction book to sell it. You can post a chapter or two on your website and invite feedback. Then as you add to the book, you can post new versions as 2.0, 3.0, and so on, and sell to the same customers again. Traditionally, books are published as one-shot, one-season, four-month projects. If the book sells well, it is reprinted. If it does not, it is pulled from the shelves. This system makes sense for fiction, entertainment, that will not be updated. But it is not logical for nonfiction, information. Savvy publishers have been updating their nonfiction and publishing revised editions for years. Electronic editions can even contain a pop-up message inviting the reader to click on a hyperlink to the author's website to see if there is a new edition. Now you can remind the reader over and over again, even if a friend loaned the ebook. Module books. Books can have several versions of some chapters, each aimed at a particular type of reader. Then the book can be assembled for that particular reader. The customer might be asked some basic questions. What is the level of your experience? Are you new to the subject, familiar with it, or an expert? Where are you located? Your approach to the market may be different if you're outside the United States. In what language do you want the book? Then the program would select various versions of the chapters or modules and assemble them into a book to meet the needs of the buyer. E-book readers, the hardware. They provide information to go. They make the electronic information portable. You can make your entire book available for e-books in PDF and other formats. The new publishers will be Amazon, Apple, and Google. Amazon's lead is in content. Kindle books can be read on the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod Touch, the Pocket PC, Palm, and so on. Dick Brass, Microsoft Vice President in charge of technology development, says, by 2020, 50% of everything we read will be in electronic form. Downloadable virtual books allow you to write, store, sell, and read your work without printing it out. E-books are not for everyone. If you spend a lot of time at home, printed books work fine. If you're a commuter, sales rep, or long-haul trucker, you may prefer audiobooks. If you travel and spend a lot of time on airplanes and in airports, e-books offer a low-weight, low-volume alternative to printed books. Distribution, your website. You can put the entire book on your own website for downloading. For example, Parapublishing sells 48 downloadable reports. You can read them online or print them out. The sample read. If you write fiction, place the first chapter of your book on your site as a free read. The first chapter is usually full of action and encourages readers to continue. If you publish nonfiction, place the first page or two of each chapter on your site as a free read. In nonfiction, you are selling information, not entertainment. You will convert more browsers into buyers if you introduce them to the material in each chapter. Distribution, other websites. You can put the entire book on other websites for sale and downloading. Some of these sites are Smashwords.com, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, BookLocker, OfficeMax, NetLibrary, Apple, and Google. Today, there are only two types of publishers, those in danger of missing the electronic boat and those who do not even know there is a boat to catch. Digital Rights Management, DRM. Hearing about the effects of Napster on music proliferation, some people are concerned about making their books available for download. But music and even fiction have much wider audiences than subject-specific nonfiction. Nonfiction is less likely to be unlawfully distributed to others. Protection schemes penalize paying customers and create additional customer service costs. Weigh the value. Your publishing sequence. Follow the new book model and print 500 copies digitally. The books will establish your credibility and will serve as the foundation for your business. The ebook will be easy because the file is already done. The audiobook will be easy because the book is the script. It is nearly done. The new book model is easier, faster, and less expensive than models of the past and will bring authors a greater return. You can do it yourself. You can make more money. You can get the press sooner and keep control of your work. You can repurpose or multipurpose your content, publish it in several different ways, and wring maximum value out of your literary effort. In the future, nonfiction book publishing will see minimized inventories and maximized relationships between authors and customers. Readers. Publishing will become customer-centric, and books will thrive on uniqueness, customization, and variety. Book writing and publishing is changing for the better. Chapter 3, What to Write, Selecting Your Subject. You may write anything you wish. The First Amendment to the Constitution guarantees freedom of expression. In the United States, you don't have to register, get a license, or ask permission to be an author. Making the decision. Use the following criteria, the six musts, to qualify your project. If you've already written the manuscript, go back and make sure it meets all six of them. Unfortunately, many authors write before considering the six musts, and they discover there aren't many potential buyers for their book. I never know what book I'll write next. I don't plan ahead. An article, a few words from a friend, or an activity may trigger an idea. I visualize the book. I check it against the six musts, and I make an objective decision. Agatha Christie, the famous English mystery writer, said, "The best time for planning a book is while you're doing the dishes." Here are the six musts for a viable book. Number one, the subject must be interesting to you. Write what you know. What are your interests? Plan your future and your book now. Don't write a book on a subject that you are no longer interested in and do not want to pursue. For example, let's say you've been selling real estate for the past 10 years, but your hobby is golf, and you're pretty good at the game. Don't write a book on real estate. Write it on some aspect of golf. Once your book is published, people may request interviews, articles, seminars, and consulting. Plan now to make sure they approach you on a subject about which you are passionate. Follow your heart, not your head. Ask yourself, what do you want to be writing about in 3 years? What do you want to be talking about? What do you want to be dreaming about? What will wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a burning inspiration that will move you to the keyboard? Robert Frost, the American poet, said in Tramps in the Mud Time, "My object in living is to unite my avocation and my vocation." I started with my favorite sport, skydiving. Ask yourself, is this the subject I want to focus on? Number two, you must have the expertise or the experience. You don't have to have an advanced degree. You don't need a PhD, but you do need personal experience, dedication to do the research, and a deep desire to spread the word. The most important question is, have you been there? Which brings us to Patricia Clay, the actor. She said, "You must have experience to write a good nonfiction book, so please don't write a book on how to get rich unless you're already rich." A study published by the Journal of the American Medical Association found that people who wrote about their traumatic life experiences sometimes gained relief from chronic asthma, rheumatoid arthritis, and other diseases. Those who spent just 20 minutes per day, 3 days in a row, writing about the most stressful event in their life were in better health 4 months later than those who did not. Apparently, writing had a therapeutic effect, helping them to make sense of their bad experiences. A fresh outlook can be an asset. When you're beginning in a new field, you have the same questions your readers will have. Write as you learn and record as you study. Then run your manuscript by more experienced people to make sure you haven't left anything out or written something you misunderstood. This process, called peer review, is extremely beneficial. I became interested in the new sport of hang gliding in 1973. Being book-oriented, I visited the bookstores and the library. Unable to find a book on the subject, I wrote one as I learned to fly. I sent finished chapters to instructors and manufacturers for review. This first book on the sport sold so well, I was able to move from New England back to California and buy a home in Santa Barbara on a hill overlooking the ocean. Ask yourself, do I know what I'm talking about? Number 3. The subject must be of interest to others. The book has to contain information people want to know, or they will not buy it. Will a number of people be willing to part with $20 or $30 to lay their hands on this book? Will it sell? Ask yourself, if I write it, will they come? Number 4. The subject must be tightly focused. We live in an age of increased specialization. Years ago, we had general weekly magazines, periodicals such as Collier's and Look. They are gone now because people don't have time for or want to read a general magazine. Today, they read e-zines, blogs, online news feeds, and so on. Target your information, your message, and your audience. Narrower is better. Marilyn Grahams attended one of our first book promotion workshops. A medical doctor, Marilyn had recently given birth to her second child and had just finished her manuscript on breastfeeding. Mindy Bingham asked her who her intended reading audience might be. Marilyn thought the answer was rather obvious. I mean, any woman who has given birth or who is about to give birth and is interested in breastfeeding. Mindy reminded Marilyn that she had developed a system whereby a woman could breastfeed and return to work. She suggested the book be titled Breastfeeding: Success for Working Mothers. Marilyn didn't want to limit her market. She wanted to sell to all new mothers. Mindy said, "Let's pretend we're in a bookstore, looking for a breastfeeding book. There are 8 books on the subject." Then Mindy, who has a mind like a steel trap, has never forgotten a statistic she's ever read, said, "Marilyn, do you know that 55% of the women who give birth return to the workforce within 1 year?" That meant that 55% of the potential buyers would identify with breastfeeding success for working mothers, and the other 45% would spread their buying over 8 books. Narrowing the book's focus means more buyers will identify with it and purchase it. Besides, women purchase 68% of all trade books. If you aim your message at women, a great majority of the potential buyers will identify with your book. For example, it only took Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul 6 months to sell as many copies as the original Chicken Soup for the Soul sold in its first 3 years. Women will listen to women talking about women's issues. Ask yourself, is the subject of my book narrow enough? Number 5. The market must be easy to reach. Who are your readers and where are they? You must be able to identify them and locate them. Remember that your answers are not book readers in bookstores. Go into a bookstore on any given day. How many of the customers do you suppose are interested in a skydiving book? Not many. What is the profile of the typical bookstore browser? It's a recreational reader, someone used to plunking down $24.95 for hardcover fiction. But check out a parachute shop. How many customers are interested in skydiving? Now the thinking gears are turning. Where can we find a high concentration of our particular customer? What type of stores do our potential customers frequent? What magazines do they read? What associations do they join? What events do they attend? Go where the customers are. For example, skydiving books are sold through parachute stores, skydiving catalogs, skydiving schools, as well as to the U.S. Parachute Association for resale to its members. Reaching buyers is easier and less expensive when you identify places with a high concentration of them. Specialty dealers purchase books by the carton, feel a 40% discount is generous, pay in 30 days, and never return a book. Bookstores, in contrast, buy 2 or 3 books, complain about the discount, might pay in 90 or 120 days, and then return 1 book for a refund, and often it is damaged with coffee stains. Bookstores are a lousy place to sell books. Ask yourself, do I know where my potential customers are? Number 6, the market must be large enough, but not too large. The primary group you are targeting should be between 200,000 and 700,000 identifiable, reachable people. To get these figures, check the number of stores that target your potential customer, the membership of applicable associations and clubs, the subscriber count of appropriate periodicals, blogs, websites, forums, and the turnout for events they might attend. If the group is too small, you won't sell enough books to quit your day job. If it is too large, you'll have competition. In large groups, you'll have to narrow your target down even more. For example, there may be 10 million water skiers. How about a book aimed at water skiing instructors? Eventually, you'll want a line of books, audios, seminars, and speeches, all covering the same subject. These products and services will fill up your website brochure. Then you'll become known as the central source for all information on your subject. You are not just an author, publisher, publicist, speaker, or consultant. You are an information provider. Ask yourself, is my projected audience large enough to support me? Does your subject qualify under the six musts? If you satisfy the six criteria, you are on your way. Bernard Malamud, American novelist and short story writer, said, "If it doesn't work, begin something else." Building your business. Your book is the foundation for your business. The other products and services are built on top of the book. The book must come first, as it provides more credibility than any other product. Don't spend time making an audio just because you can turn it out faster. Do the book first, and then stay in one field. Once you select your subject, stick to it. Stay in one field. Many authors write a book on a subject they know quite well and direct it to their own reachable field. The book becomes a success using this formula, and they suddenly think that selling books is easy. So they write a travel book. It flops, because they don't know how to reach the travel book buyer. One day, I received a call from a client. He said, "Dan, I'm a chiropractor, and I recognize that while chiropractors are good at what they do, they are not good at running their offices. But I've solved that challenge. I've just finished my book titled, How to Run Your Chiropractic Office." "Sounds good," I said. I thought to myself, now here's an author who can look in the mirror and see a reflection of his customer. He knows who the customer is, what the customer needs, and, most importantly, where the customer is. Then the doctor continued with, "I have a packaging idea I'd like to run past you." I leaned back in my chair and listened. "Once I sell this book to all the chiropractors, I can go through the manuscript with Search and Replace and change the word chiropractor to dentist and sell the same book to all the dentists. Next, I'll sell all the medical doctors. Isn't that a great idea?" "No," I said. "It sounds great, but it's a terrible idea. First off, it will not be all that easy to sell to your peers. It will take reviews in the blogs, displays at the conventions, lots of mail and telephone calls. Finally, word of mouth from one doctor will sell another. Do you really want to learn all about dentists? Do you want to read their blogs, join their associations, and attend their conventions? You don't have time for that. But what you should do is publish this book, then write the advanced book, then the business forms book, and then the little books chiropractors give to their patients. You want to become known as the publisher for the chiropractic industry. Anyone who has ever been in sales will tell us it is far easier to sell an additional product to an existing customer than it is to find a new customer. Stay in one field and keep adding products until you own the field. Over the years, I've written 127 books on 11 different subjects. I found I couldn't keep up. I couldn't maintain an expertise in all the fields. I couldn't even read all the free magazines I received. In desperation to maintain credibility with my readers, I cut back to three categories: book writing, publishing, skydiving, and expert witness work. And it is still too much. Chapter 4: Researching Your Topic and Checking for Competition. Before you begin your writing journey, you must do some research. You want to know how much information is available on the subject, and if this book has been written before. Once you see what is out there, your approach, angle, hook, direction, or niche may change. assessing the market. If you decide to sell out by approaching an agent or a publisher, you'll be asked for a proposal. The agent or publisher will want to know if other books have covered this subject lately. From this angle, how are the books in this category selling? How large is the market? What is the median selling price of the books on the shelf? If you plan to publish yourself, you need the same information to make an informed decision. What people are buying. Generally, women buy more books on relationships, weight loss exercise, and spirituality. Men purchase books on business, organizational skills, and sports-related books. Bookstores. Visit places where books are sold. Bookstores vary in the types of books they carry. All bookstores are not the same. For example, books on business are plentiful in downtown stores, but there are few titles on the topic in the mall stores in the suburbs. Conversely, you are more likely to find a greater selection of parenting and relationship books in the malls than downtown. You will also find that the largest superstores have a much greater selection than the smaller stores. Visit several stores, both chain and independent, to see the variety of offerings. Stores carry only 40,000 to 80,000 of the 2.8 million books currently in print or available for sale. So the books you see on the shelves are the ones that are new and are selling well. Make a list of all the books on your subject in each store. Note the title, subtitle, author, trim size, shape, types of cover, hard or soft, the international standard book number, and the price. Run your idea past the bookstore proprietor. This person usually knows what is selling and what the buying public is asking for. Online bookstore databases such as Amazon.com list all the books that are available or in print, as well as out-of-print books. Make a subject search and print out the results. Try several alternative words. For example, for a book on skydiving, try the words skydive, skydiving, skydiver, parachute, parachuting, parachutist, freefall, and so on. Make a similar search for titles with the same keywords. Try several book databases. Sort the books displayed into publication date order. See the brand new books and go back 20 years. Notice what is being done and what has been done. At Amazon, the readers evaluate the books. Record how many stars each title has. Amazon also reveals the sales rank of each book. Record how each book is selling against others in its category. Read the reviews for similar books. Find out what the readers like and what they don't like, what they want and what they don't want. Now you know what to put in your book and what to leave out. After you do this, make a search on your proposed or working title. Don't worry when you read of other books that sound like the one you propose to write. Many books are poorly titled. But you must buy all the books to check their coverage and to reference in your book. Save money. Buy the book used at Amazon for a dollar or two. Don't be concerned about their condition. You need them for research, not for display. Next, see how much information is available on your subject. You want to gather information on every book, magazine article, blog, website, database, and resource. Use a search engine such as Google and Yahoo. Check other sites such as refdesk.com and tvis.com. Type in keywords and the sites will collect articles and information for you. This detective work can be great fun. One scrap of information will lead to another as you spend hours on the internet, the world's largest library. By now, you should be getting a good picture of what has been done, what has been done lately, the angles from which the subject has been approached, what is selling, and the prices for each of the books on that shelf. Research the audience for your book by searching the directories of associations, magazines, stores, and events. Will you be able to reach your intended customer? Run your book idea past the librarian. These book professionals have a wealth of knowledge. Most will take an interest in your project and will suggest more references. Bud Gardner, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Writer's Soul, says, "We write to learn." How far back must you research your subject matter is up to you. You know your subject. For example, if you were researching parachutes, you'd have to go all the way back to 1495 and Leonardo da Vinci. If you're researching computers, 3 months ought to do it. Your own bookshelves should have a number of books on your intended subject. Go through those books and photocopy the pages with information you want to include in your book. Call or email authors and publishers of older, out-of-print books and ask how the book did. Most authors and publishers are helpful and will share this information. Since the book has run its course and is no longer available, you don't pose a threat to their business. They regard their book as a member of their family, and most parents like to brag about their children. If the author or publisher has time, he or she will usually open up and tell you all about the successes and challenges the book had. Norman Mailer, American writer and Pulitzer Prize winner, says about his books, "They're there. They're mine. They're my children." Ask people in your industry or association if such a book is needed and what you might charge for it. If they're dealers, ask how many they might sell in a year, and so on. Before writing my first major book, 590 pages, 2,000 illustrations, and 5,000 copies, I polled the parachute industry regarding its viability. Encouraged with the response, I borrowed $15,000 from my parents and had 5,000 copies printed. Get a model book. Visit a bookstore. Check your book section. Then look into other shelves. Find a book you like on any subject. Consider the binding, layout, feel, margins, type style, everything. Then buy it. Use this book for a model. Tell your typesetter, of course you might typeset it yourself, and your printer you want your manuscript to look like this book. There is no need to create a new design when you can follow an existing one. If you want your book to sell like a book, it has to look like a book. You'll note that each genre or classification in the store has its own special look. For example, books on business usually have a hardcover with a dust jacket. Books for professionals such as doctors, lawyers, and accountants are hardcover without a dust jacket. Children's books are larger, four color, and have 32 pages. Cookbooks are wider than they are tall, so they will open and lie flat. Travel books tend to be lightweight and easy to carry. Respect the category. Your book must look like the rest on its shelf, or it will stand out as being strange, and strange does not achieve a sufficient confidence level to sell. Don't break out of the mold on your first attempt. If your book is different, it will lose credibility. Potential buyers will think you're an amateur and not ready to be a serious author-publisher. In book design, different doesn't sell. Milt Strong writes and publishes books on square dancing. All his books measure about 4.5 inches by 8 inches. He explains that dancers want a tall, skinny book so they can read the steps and then slip the book into a back pocket. He knows and caters to his customers. Book printers will produce an acceptable book, but that book will be boring unless you provide some design direction. What usually happens is that the author-publisher spends a great deal of time on the text, and the manufacturing process becomes an afterthought. The package design is left up to the printer. What we see today are 5.5 by 8.5 softcover books that look the same. Printers can supply fold-out pages, gold foil on the cover, die-cut jackets, embossed covers, and many other variations. All you have to do is ask. Get a model book so you can adapt an appropriate design and visualize your finished product. Get all the specialized books on your subject. If you're writing a travel book, cookbook, life story, humor book, directory, computer book, or a book about something in another common category, see the specialized books. These books will tell you how to write them, how to produce them, and most importantly, how to promote them. It's often less expensive to buy several books on writing, producing, and promoting your genre than it is to make one mistake. Also, to help you throughout the process, pick up a copy of the Self-Publishing Manual, Volumes 1 and 2. Go to parapublishing.com. That's parapublishing.com. That's right. Think parachutes and publishing. And that's it. If you follow the plan, you're ready to write. Because of your research, you know there is a market for your printed book, ebook, and audiobook. This is Dan Poynter offering you the very best wishes.
We hope you have enjoyed this one-hour audio presentation of Writing Nonfiction, Turning Thoughts into Books, written by Dan Poynter, read by the author. For more information on the one-hour audio series, visit www.infinitypublishing.com. For more information about Dan Poynter and Dan's many books on many subjects, please visit www.parapub.com. That's parapub.com. Audio copyright 2010, Infinity Publishing. All rights reserved. Except as permitted under the U.S. Copyright Act of 1976, no part of this publication may be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted in any form or by any means, or stored in a database or retrieval system, without the prior written permission of the publisher.